Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
Man, we had a fantastic Bible study tonight. If you can come out at 5:30, bring your lunch, go through the drive-thru at Burger King, wherever you want to go, and meet me in my office. We had had 10 tonight, and we're studying the Book of Revelations. We're studying John the Revelator here. Studying the Book of Revelations, and we're going word by word, and it is going to be a fantastic Bible study. We got a good group already, and if you want to join us, feel free. All right, we're going to do what's called a biblical character study between now and the time we end for our summer break on John the Revelator. Now, what is a character study? A character study is where you take a person like John, who is a disciple of Jesus, one of the 12, who wrote the book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, one of the Gospels, big deal. John is an eyewitness to Jesus. He also wrote the books 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And he wrote the book called the Book of Revelations. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go methodically and we're going to see what the scripture tells us about. And we're going to learn more about the life and the character and the lessons of John in the next 4 weeks than you've ever learned in your life. So are you ready? Say amen. You're definitely going to need a Bible, all right? And get it ready. I'll tell you in just a second where to turn to. This guy's one of the most interesting people in the Bible. I wish I was more like John. John writes like he's sitting under an oak tree and he's reminiscing and reflecting on the goodness of God. He's called the Apostle John, but he's also called John the Beloved. And any time you see the word beloved in the New Testament, your ears need to perk up because it's a great sign of affection. He's also called John a lot of things. There are other people, in the Bible who are named John. He's called different things. He's called John the Elder, and John was a very familiar name. But there was an inner circle that most people don't realize. Well, he was one of the 12, so he's one of 12. He is also one of 3. Jesus had 12 disciples, but he had 3 inside the 12 that he was closer to. Scripture bears this out. Now, his name actually means Jehovah is gracious, that God is graceful. How many believe God is graceful? Right? And so John is this guy who's touched Jesus, walked with Jesus, knew Jesus, and was not just someone who knew him very well. He's also a man in the Bible that was one of the top 3 leaders that Jesus brought closer to him rather than just the 12. You know, you have Matthias who took Judas's place. He was one of the 12. But there's a difference between being Matthias, who Jesus definitely loved and who was definitely close to, he's one of the 12 disciples, or Philip, and being John, or being St. Peter, okay? So there was definitely this confidence. Go to Acts chapter 4, verse 13, and let's establish that thought. And we're going to go into a lot of scriptures tonight and mainly let the scriptures guide us in telling us about who John is. And then so we can learn to mimic his life. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Chapter 4, verse 13. When they observed the boldness of Peter and John, this is the John we're talking about, and realized that they were uneducated and untrained men. Now, number one, when they use the word uneducated and untrained, and they say these words, they were amazed and recognized that they had been with Jesus. Let me tell you what this means in the Greek. It literally means that the people of academia heard John and Peter speak, and they looked at their friends and said, how do these people know this stuff like we know it because they didn't go to the school we went to? So it's not a slam as these bunch of ignorant hillbillies are preaching the gospel. No, it's a compliment. that these guys were so so astute at what they were saying and so trained that they said, how do they know the stuff that you only get when you're trained in the schools? And they didn't go to the schools we went to. So we see in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, that they had been recognized by being with Jesus. Okay? Now, let's look at passages about his life. His name means Jehovah is graceful. Now, among John's mentioned in the Bible, you have John the Baptist, and you have John Mark, and those are the most prominent figures. But did you know St. Peter's father's name was John? It was a very common name. So, and there was a John who was related to the high priest there. But when we look at John, go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 21, okay? And let's see what the scriptures can tell us about who John was. Matthew chapter 4, and please give me a little grace tonight. Anybody else struggling with sinus infection? Oh my goodness. Anybody else as sick of it as I am? All right. Matthew chapter 4, verse 21. Let's pick up and begin to look. In verse 21, it says, going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. So we know he has a brother. He has a brother named Zebedee. All right? And a lot of time, you don't even realize how he's connected to Jesus. He's actually Jesus' cousin. We'll get into that in a minute. So it says, let's finish this. 421. From going on there, he saw two brothers, John the son of Zebedee and his brother John. Okay? They were in a boat with Zebedee, their father. So now we bring in his dad. He had a relationship with his father, preparing their nets and called them immediately. Now, read that slowly with me. They were in a boat, it's Galilee, with Zebedee, their father, preparing their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. One, we know that he was close to his father. But what you don't pick up if you're not careful is to understand that anytime someone had someone else preparing their nets, you know they're wealthy. So this concept that the disciples were poor, impoverished people and came from poverty is not always true. Matthew certainly did not. Mary's mom and dad were so wealthy, they tied a third to the temple, a third to the poor, and a third to good causes. So you have to learn how to read the scriptures very slowly and pick up on cultural cues. When someone has someone preparing a net for them and they own the fishing boat, it's a sign of wealth. All right? Now, let's go keep going. Go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 2. And let's pick up and see Matthew chapter 10, verse 2. And while you're going there, let me put in here this concept that John was from a wealthy family. How many of you never knew that? Can I see hands? Yeah, very wealthy family. Now, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 2, these are the name of the 12 apostles. Simon, who's called Peter, his Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. So one of his brothers was one of the 12. All right? Must have been a pretty good family for Jesus to say, I need both of you boys. But can you imagine what that would have done to his father's fishing industry? Interesting. They left it all. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, as you're going to Matthew chapter 17, verse 1, is the verse where Peter says, Lord, if we left you, where would we go? We've given up everything for you. 17 and 1. It says, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John. Peter, James, and John are beginning to form an inner circle amongst the 12. And led them up a high mountain by themselves. So we see where Jesus starts using him as one of the three. Now this shows you that Jesus is pulling in, cream rises to the top. And it's not that the other disciples weren't cream, but to say that Jesus didn't have three people which he spent more time with than the 12 would be wrong. And John was one of them. So John is one of the guys that Jesus must have really saw something or seen something in that would cause him to really pull him closer. You know, he saw leadership in him. There's no other way to say that. Now, go with me to Mark chapter 1, verse 19. And see what else we can pick up. Matthew, Mark. Mark chapter 1, verse 19. In Mark chapter 1, verse 19. Where are we at? There we are. Going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat putting their nets in order. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee. So now we see his dad's name. James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John putting the net. Immediately he called them, and he left their father Zebedee in the boat. So his dad's name was Zebedee. I guess it's like Aiden and Michael and Aiden Michael, you know. Now watch this. Look here, let me prove to you what I just said. Look at verse 20. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men. That's how you know he's from a wealthy family. Right there. Okay? Now let's do a little bit more searching. Go to verse 29 in the same chapter. And as soon as they left the synagogue, they went into Simon and Andrew's house with James and John. So you see Jesus beginning to pull them together as an inner circle, even from the very beginning. Now go to chapter 3 of Mark and look at verse 17. In chapter 3 of Mark, verse 17, you will see, and to James, the son of Zebedee, and to his brother John, he gave the name Sons of Thunder. That's interesting. He gave them the name of Sons of Thunder. So John and his brother were called the Sons of Thunder. Wonder why they called them the Sons of Thunder. Attitudes? Temper? We're going to find out as we go on, okay? Now look at chapter 5, verse 37. Take a look and let the scriptures guide you as you establish who John is. Matthew chapter, how many of you believe the Bible is absolutely true? All right, so it's trustworthy. Chapter 5, verse 37, and not just because you believe it, but because it can be proven historically to be trustworthy. Chapter 5, verse 37, he did not let anyone accompany him except Peter, James, and John, James's brother. So you got John, James, and Zebedee, all right? I said his brother, his dad's name, his brother's name was James. But he also had that middle name, all right? And so you see where he's developing the three. Now go to chapter 9, verse 2. Chapter 9, verse 2, it says, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up to a high mountain by themselves to be alone. So you see where Jesus is starting to take the 12 and divide them into three and take three with them while the others stayed behind. Now, let's jump up. Go to John, the book of John. Let's see what John says about himself. Go to John chapter 1. All right? John chapter 1, verse 35. In John chapter 1, verse 35, it says, now the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. Now he's talking about John the Baptist. There's a relationship between John the Baptist and John. And when you begin to pick up on it, because John the Baptist actually spoke into John's life. Now, let me explain something to you. If you really want to understand John the Baptist, study Qumran. Q-U-M-R-A-N. We were there, a couple of us in this room, we were there 3 weeks ago. Qumran was a group of people who were Jewish, and they were zealots in a lot of ways. zealous for the scriptures. They actually looked at Jerusalem and said, these people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and these guys, they're corrupt. So they go out to the Judean desert where Jesus was tempted, literally close to it, and they build this huge city, this community, this town. And they hunkered away like desert fathers did in 1000 AD, okay, and built monasteries. Well, they built this community But this community was founded upon the coming of a Messiah for the Jewish people. And it was founded upon copying the Bible. That's how you know you can trust your Bible, because of the Dead Sea Scrolls that were found at Qumran. Okay? But what most people don't realize is when you read the book of Matthew and you read the words of John the Baptist, it is extremely highly likely that, number one, Jesus visited Qumran, but is also even more likely that John the Baptist had spent time in Qumran, because they had left the corrupt Judaism of Jerusalem and the temple, went out here preparing for a new kind of Jewish Messiah. Many of them, according to the book of Acts chapter 16, actually left the temple priesthood of Judaism and became Christians. And John the Baptist probably came out of that organization, which was apocalyptic, revelatory, and messianic. What did I just say? It talked about when the end times is coming. They wrote the Bible and copied it, and they turned around and they talked a lot about the coming of the Messiah. Now, why did I tell you that story? Because John the Baptist mentored John. So you want to understand John, Mike, you got to understand John the Baptist. So when you read John the Baptist, you'll pick up on John. How many of you didn't know that? All right, now keep going with me. Now, in John chapter, where was that? John chapter 1, verse 31. Look at verse 40 in chapter 1. Verse 40 says, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard John and followed him. He first found his own brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought Simon to Jesus. Yeah. When Jesus saw him, he said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is called Peter. Okay, now go to Acts, go to the book of Acts. Now you realize what you're doing. You're leaving the eyewitness accounts of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, they are all eyewitness accounts, but Mark was a kid, and he got his story from St. Peter. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the eyewitness accounts of Jesus. And now you're in a book called Acts of the Apostles. Your Bible probably just says Acts. It's called Acts of the Apostles. And what happens is there's this change taking place to where it's no longer about the Jewish synagogue and the Jewish life. Jesus looked at them on the Passover, didn't finish the Jewish Passover, and says, "I got a new covenant. I'm going to take the new cup." He didn't finish the Jewish Passover. He started a new definition of the Passover on the cross. And so Jesus and these disciples were told by Jesus at his ascension, after the resurrection, go into Jerusalem and wait in the upper room until you've been endued with power by the Holy Spirit. Let me make that plain for everybody historically. This is the inauguration of the church. What we know as the church starts here. You can't call, and nowhere does the Gospels call Matthew, James, Zebedee, doesn't call any of the disciples the church. Never. So anybody that says, "Oh, you don't have to be a Christian, go to church," is foolish. So you've got the beginning of the establishment of the church of Jesus Christ. Now look at Acts chapter 1, verse 13. Now, listen to me. Why is this important? All right, here's another clue. Do you know who lived longer than any disciples? John. And what we're going to learn about him and what we're learning in the Revelation class is he lived to be 90 years of age. Well, I thought they put him on an island called Patmos, which was called the Death Island, and they did it to persecute him. And this is where he wrote the book of Revelations. That's true. But they also let him off of the island of Patmos. And I asked my Jewish archaeological guide, why did they let him off the island of Patmos? And he looks at me and says, because they thought he was harmless. And then he smiles, this Muslim Christian, and that's what he calls himself, Muslim Christian tour guide, looks at me in Turkey, in the seven churches of Asia Minor where John writes about, and says they thought he was harmless, but he went on to plant 12 other churches after they let him off the island. So somewhere, guys, between 80-something years of age and 90 before he dies, he goes and plants these other churches, and they thought he was harmless. So much for retiring. Now, watch this. In Acts chapter 1, verse 13, let's look at it. It says, when they arrived, they went to the room upstairs. That's where we were a couple weeks ago. And you can go with us not this April, but next April. Where they were staying, Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. They were all continuing united in prayer. So you see John as one of the leaders of the establishment of the church, the ecclesia, the people who are called out for a meeting. You can't even call yourself a church until you understand that the word church, ecclesia, means you've been called out for a meeting. Now, look at chapter 3, verse 1. In chapter 3, verse 1, you see where John begins to change a little bit. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple. Now, you got to realize what these jokers have been through. The guy they gave their life for died. They watched him be crucified, spat on. I mean, there was no way that joker was coming back. Thomas even said, I'll believe it when I put my fingers in your hand. And so here's these guys that then saw him come back and enter into a room without going through the door. They saw an empty tomb, and they knew that the people in the know, no BDO, no, the people in the know knew that they didn't steal that body, which is what the Jews propagated. The Bible's clear about that. And so they see him ascend to the heavens. And God says, all power is given unto me, and I give it to you. You go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And he says, you go wait in Jerusalem and be endued with power. And when the Holy Ghost comes upon you after the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Passover, you're going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to empower you with the Spirit to go out into the world. Now, you know what they did? They stayed together. They didn't want to break up. They got that close. And then you know what had to happen? And always remember, not everywhere, just some places. Persecution broke out. And it made them scatter. They didn't do what Jesus told them to do. They didn't scatter. They preached the gospel. But it was when persecution broke out that they had to scatter. And so they scattered. Okay? Now, put that in context. And Peter and John were going to the temple for the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, stop right there. Always remember at the beginning of the book of Acts, what the disciples, nobody sit down and told them, hey, you're going to start a new religion. We're going to call it Christianity. Okay? Nobody told them that. You didn't even call anybody a Christian during this period of time. They didn't call themselves Christians. Little Christ. Actually, the persecutors of these disciples called them Christians first. And so you got these guys, and the only thing they know to do is go back into the synagogue. Even in the church epistles. What's a church epistle? Galatia. Why is it called a church epistle? The book of Galatia is the church of Galatians. The book of Ephesians is the church of Ephesians. The book of Philippians is the church of Philippi. So you have these churches there that are in the church epistles. Even in the church epistles, Paul's first strategy is to go into the synagogue and preach the gospel. And so what they're doing is what's natural to them. They didn't stop going to the synagogue then. They were distinctively Jewish. But they had found the Messiah. Now watch what happens. Now Peter and John were going into the temple for the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. And a man who was lame from birth was being carried there, and he placed each day at the temple gate called Beautiful. I was just there, so that he could beg for those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked for money. Peter, along with John, looked straight at him and said, "Look at us." So he turned to them, accepting to get something from them. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver and gold, but what I have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up and walk." And so then, by taking him by the right hand is always the place of authority in the Bible. And once upon his feet, his ankles became strong, so he jumped up and began to praise God. So you see John, who is beginning to walk in the supernatural after the day of Pentecost. And that's really important, because for whatever reason, and I don't want to be sensational, and I don't want to take away ambiguity, but for whatever reason, when you step back and you begin to look at John's life, you say, if any man had ever been trusted with seeing things that were supernatural, it was John. You'll never understand the book of Revelation until you put yourself in the place of a first century person who'd never seen running water, never noticed an atomic bomb, never seen a Black Hawk helicopter, had never seen military, never seen running water, never seen electricity, never seen any of that. And God rolls back, apocalypse, uncovers the end time, and what happens to this John? He falls down as if he were dead. Isn't it interesting, the first time we see him in the supernatural, he sees a man get up and walk. So you can't understand John without understanding somebody who's just rooted and grounded in a relationship with Jesus. That's the way he writes. But you can't understand John unless you understand how God used him supernaturally. He was the best example of a charismatic Christian you'll ever see. You ever met people who were so heavenly minded they were no earthly good? John wasn't like that. John's feet were firmly planted on the earth, but he knew there was a supernatural God. Somebody say amen. All right, now watch this. Go on with me. Go to chapter 4, verse 1. While they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple police and the Sadducees confronted them because they were annoyed that they were teaching the people and proclaiming Jesus and the resurrection of the dead. Number one, Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. They were a sect of Judaism. So the Pharisees and the Sadducees are ticked off at these Christian Jews. But they weren't called Christians. They were Jews who said they found the Messiah. And that's why Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and said, "This Messiah that you crucified." So now what is beginning to happen is that these early disciples, especially John, are beginning to get the cold shoulder. There's a tremendous price underneath the culture of the scriptures right here. They started paying a huge price for being chosen. Boy, that'll preach. And what the Bible says is that these Sadducees who didn't believe in the God got ticked off. And why? Because where were they going to preach at? The synagogue. So you can't understand John at 90, or what's he at this age? Probably in his 40s, 50s, something, 30s, something like that. 30s or 40s. You can't understand him without understanding his Jewishness. And he was distinctively Jewish, a Jewish Hebrew at this point. Now, so they seized them and they took them into custody, and Peter and John faced the Jewish leadership. See, that's who's ticked off at them. Caiaphas, there's that joker again. And the high priest's family, man, are lighting into Peter and John, verse 7. And they begin to question them, "By what power or in what name have you done this?" And Peter, who didn't take no crap off nobody, stood up and said, in the Holy Ghost, "Rulers of the people, of elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a disabled man, by what means was he healed? Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, God raised him from the dead." So what are you beginning to see? Do you see John going, "Man, I wish he'd shut his mouth. We're going to get hung from the highest rope." Or are you watching right now something develop in John that you don't see in his writings? Are you seeing boldness? Because the Bible didn't say, John didn't say, hey, would you shut up, be quiet before you get us hung? No. I kind of think Scott, John was going, tell it, Peter. Say it again. But John wasn't the gregarious St. Peter who walks out on water and flounders and curses three times and a rooster crows, or he wasn't the one that was bold and in your face all the time. That's not John. John was a cool cat. But don't think that you can't be a cool cat and be extremely bold. So now he begins to teach us something about boldness and faith. That's good stuff. Let me do one more and we'll take questions. Oh, I don't know about you, but I love studying the Bible this way. Do you guys? All right. The three of you, that's great. Do you guys? All right. Let's jump to chapter 8, verse 14. Now, you got to realize you're jumping years now. 8, verse 14. When the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John. Now, it's interesting that the 12 begin to place emphasis on the three. So not only did Jesus single out these three, John being one of them, they must have been such astute leaders and trustworthy people that even the other 12 outside the three began to follow them. It's really interesting. And when you look at 8 verse 14, after they went down there, they prayed for them so the Samaritans might receive the Holy Spirit, which they had not yet come down on any of them. And then Peter and John laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Man, I've got 9 books I'm writing on lethal faith. I've got them all done, really, except one on genderism. But I'll tell you a good book that this class is really stirring in me. There's never been a greater example of an intellectual charismatic than John. John, most certainly, even with a laid-back personality, I'll write it in English. We call it charisma. The Greek is chariz. It's gift, charismatic gifts. It's the word for grace. It doesn't mean that you get to work in the gifts because you're Dr. Superduck. It means that you work in the gifts because you yielded. And so now we're beginning to pull the can opener, and we're going to really, really get going. Pull the can opener back on John. When you study the Bible and you study a character, always let the scriptures tell you who they are first. We're going to spend about another 5-10 minutes on that next Wednesday, and then I'm going to let go of the slingshot. We're going to look at his mom, his dad. We're going to look at his lineage as a cousin with Jesus. We're going to look at his family system, how he was raised, and how he was raised in a family of wealth. And it's interesting that you just read where him and Peter tells a man that's poor, I ain't got any money. But what I got, I'll give you. So what does that say about John's ability to trust God for his needs? You know, I'm kind of thinking about it. I don't think I'd get too upset if I was having to give up everything and I knew I was going to travel with the Son of God, and I really believe he's the Son of God, and say, hey, listen, he says don't bring a coat. I'm not going to bring a coat. We'll eat somewhere. But now Jesus is gone. And the treasurer hung himself. What's that say about his character and his trust in God? Any questions? We get a little deeper in it, you'll get some good questions. Andy, what's your question?
Scott had a question.
Oh, you did, yeah. Isn't it cool how he throws you underneath the bus like that? Any questions? Any comments?
Anything? How many of you enjoy studying a character in the Bible? I see hands. All right. Bring somebody with you next Wednesday. Do not forget Sunday morning, 9:10:45. God bless us tonight. I love just studying your word and letting the word speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.